Find your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is easy to find. It's one of the early books of the Bible. Comes right after Judges. You go to Joshua, then Judges, then Ruth. And if you'll open up your Bibles, we're going to get ready for the sermon that I've entitled today, Naomi, a Great Mother and Mother-in-Law. I think that there are far too many jokes going around about mothers-in-law. I don't have but one today. Did you hear about that mother and daughter and son-in-law that took a trip to Israel? And while they were there, of all things, mother-in-law died. And the undertaker there told the family, "Now, for $500, we will bury her here in Israel. To ship her remains back, it'll cost $5,000. And the son-in-law said, "I'll pay the $5,000. And the undertaker over there said, "You'll pay the $5,000 to have her remains shipped back, instead of paying $500 to have her buried here. Why would you do that?" He said, "Well, 2,000 years ago, someone was buried and they were resurrected here, and I don't want to take that chance." Isn't that terrible? That's a terrible mother-in-law joke. Now, I want you to know, I had a great mother-in-law. Pat's mother and her daddy gave me the privilege of calling them Mom and Dad. I did it with pride. I had a wonderful mother-in-law. And my father-in-law was the same way. And I think Pat felt the same way about my mother. And she called my mother and father Mom and Dad. My mother died very young, and I was barely back from Vietnam when my mother passed on into glory. And shortly after that, or shortly before that, is when Pat and I were married. So really, I had my mother-in-law almost as long as I had my real mother. And she was a perfect example of a mother-in-law. And so wonderful did she demonstrate her Christian faith to us that she never left our presence, nor my father-in-law. She never left our presence without saying, "Now, children, can we lead you in prayer before we go?" Much of the praying that my two sons are part of, they learned from their grandmother and grandfather. Now today, I'm going to speak to you about a woman in the Bible who was an example of a good mother and a good mother-in-law. The book of Ruth is the story of this mother and of Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi. And so let's open up the Bible, and I'm going to draw some things from all four chapters of this beautiful writing in the Old Testament. Here's what it says in chapter 1. "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem, Judea. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women. One name was Orpha, and the other Ruth. And after they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. Now you think about that for just a minute. Here's this widow woman. No husband. Both of her sons are now deceased. She has nothing left now except her two daughters-in-law. The first chapter and the second chapter, which make up the first point of my message today, shrouds us in sadness and in loss. A famine is in the land of Israel. In order to survive, Elimelech takes his wife Naomi and their two sons to Moab to live for a while. You hear this word or peoples, Moab, many times in the Old Testament. Who were they anyway? Well, anytime you hear the name Moab, in most instances in the Old Testament, they represent an evil, sensual side of the human race. Here's why. You remember that when God was preparing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, He gives Lot an opportunity to escape. And you recall that when they escaped, Lot's wife turns around and looks back at that glorious city, and she's turned, according to the Bible, into a pillar of salt. But later, the two daughters of Lot get him drunk, and they seduce him in the middle of the night, and he has sexual intercourse with his own two daughters. That's incest and a sensual side of biblical history. The sons of those daughters was named, of all things, Moab, and one of them, Moab and Ahab. And from then on, we see a chain of events in which the history of the Moabite people is not something pretty to read about. But in this particular case, Elimelech takes Naomi and the boys, and in order to survive, they go off to Moab to live. And while they are there, the sadness comes. First, Elimelech dies. And 10 years later, the two boys die. And there she is, left alone in a strange country called Moab with her daughter-in-laws. And as you read on down chapter 1, you recall what happens. The scripture says that the Lord began to bless again the land of Israel. And He begins to bring rain, and the crops come back, and He brings glory once again to the people of Israel, and things really improve. So Naomi says, I think I'm going to take my two daughter-in-laws and we're going home. And so as they pack their bags and as they leave, she says to the daughter, Ophrah and Ruth, you girls go back and stay with your own family. And they go through this dialogue for a few minutes here, and Ophrah decides she's going to go back to her own family and stay in Moab. But you remember those famous words, my goodness, I've read them in wedding ceremonies all of my ministry. In verse 16 of chapter 1, Ruth says to Naomi, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. For where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people, and your God, my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. And may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." Now, not only does this speak a great commendation to both Naomi, but think what it speaks of Ruth. She could have just as well gone on back to the house and lived among the Moabite people. But no, when she chose to be the wife of one of Naomi's sons, she made a connection there that she never wanted to end. I just think it may be old-fashioned for me to say this, but I just think it's marvelous the way God connects people one with each other. My mother was one of 14 children from Ashe County, North Carolina. Little place way out, and you barely can get there from here. A little place called Tuckerdale, right out from Lansing, about 20 miles from West Jefferson. And she was one of 14. My dad, who at a very young age started to work for Norfolk and Western Railroad, now called Norfolk Southern. He was 16 years old when he started to work. Because my grandmother, his mother, lost her husband, and the boys had to help make a living and supply for the family. And they was putting a railroad line in from Abington to West Jefferson. Back then it was called the Abington Branch Line. Now it's nothing but a hiking trail, the Virginia Creeper Trail. And as they were laying the track going through this little old mountain community called Tuckerdale, he noticed peeping around the side of the house was a little country girl. Because, see, they were so shy, they had never seen people like that before. And he was, and my mother's, she's peeping around the house. And my daddy, and I've got a personality a whole lot like my dad, everybody tells me that. He never saw a stranger. And he got down off of his machine that he was helping to lay track with, and he went up in the yard at that Blevins house. And he said, "What you looking at, honey?" And my mother steps out from behind there, and a connection is made. And 2 years later, he loaded up my mother on the train that ran from West Jefferson to Abington and brought her out of those mountains. It's a beautiful thing the way God makes connections with people. It is actually beyond description the way He connects folks. And when a man chooses to be with his wife and the wife chooses to be with her husband, and because they're bound together with precious thing called love, the result of that is often beautiful indeed. And you think of that beauty, and then all of a sudden, here's Naomi, who has all of that taken away from her. She has no husband, and now she has no sons. And in the Old Testament, a family's livelihood was determined by the man of the household and the sons, their offspring. She had none. And so she decides to go back to Israel. And she tells the girls, "Y'all can stay here," but no, Ruth has a choice to make. Should I go or should I stay? And she tells Naomi, "I'm not going to leave you. And may God deal with me ever so severely if I do not stay with you, because I want your people to be my people. And I'll be buried right with you." And see, what we don't realize is that this is all the good Lord setting up a beautiful thing that's going to happen. You just wait a minute. Just hold on and see what the Lord is getting ready to do. So we come to chapter 3 and 4. A new concept enters into the biblical pages of history. It's called the Kinsman Redeemer. Now listen to that terminology. The Kinsman Redeemer. So when Naomi and Elimelech leave to go to Moab, they have possessions back in the land. They have real estate. And so when she comes back, the real estate rightfully belongs to her. But listen, mothers, listen, ladies, did you realize that in the Old Testament, women were not regarded highly enough to be the owners or possessors of land? It's true. They were an inferior group of people. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ came and elevated the position of the woman? Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus didn't teach us that? So there she is. She goes back in chapter 3 and 4. She goes back to the homeland, and there's her land still there. But watch what the Lord gets ready to do. Chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man standing whose name was Boaz. Now, let me read to you verse 1 of chapter 2 out of the direct Hebrew translation. Naomi had a relative that was next kin to her husband. He was from the same clan, Elimelech. And watch this, he was a man upstanding. That means he was a man of goodly, godly reputation. And his name was Boaz. Now, have you ever heard the old adage, love at first sight? Whew. Of course you have. What's about to happen here is love at first sight. That's kind of like the story of Danny and Pat. Now, I wanted to spread myself around when I was at Bluefield College, trust me, and when I was in high school. But then all of a sudden, this beautiful young lady walked across campus and into the cafeteria, the old cafeteria up there at Bluefield College, and I made my way as quickly as I could over to that young lady, and I said, "What is your name?" Pat. It was love at first sight. Now, old Boaz sees this beautiful woman, Ruth, and it's love at first sight. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go out to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor." And Naomi said to her, "Yeah, go ahead on, go ahead." So she went out and began to glean the fields behind the harvesters. And it turned out she found herself working in the field belonging to Boaz. Well, isn't that interesting? She finds herself in the very field of Boaz. You think the Lord had anything to do with that? You better believe He did. I'm telling you, the Lord is setting up a beautiful thing in the life of Boaz and Ruth. I pastored when I was in seminary down in eastern North Carolina. And two crops they raised down there was tobacco and sweet potatoes. And a funny thing caught our eye that we were not used to. When it came time to dig the sweet potatoes, they had this particular plow or device they hooked to their tractors, and they went down the row, and it turned those sweet potatoes out of the furrow up on top of the ground. And then the people that worked for the farmers would come along with their baskets and they would harvest those sweet potatoes. Some of them were this big, beautiful thing. But the ones that were second and third grade, guess what they did with them? They left them in the field because they wouldn't bring much money at the market. And so what would happen after the end of a work day? They allowed their Afro-American workers and Mexican workers to go through those fields and pick up those leftover sweet potatoes. That's what you call gleaning the crop. And this is what's happening here. Naomi says to Ruth, go ahead, glean the field. And out in the field, it just happens to be that it is the field of Boaz. And he arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters and said, the Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. And he asked the farmers or the harvesters, watch this, who is that over there? That's right there. It's right there in that verse. Right there in verse 5. He asked the foreman of the harvesters, who is that? He wants to know who this person is. Now let me tell you just a little bit about this concept of the kinsman redeemer. In chapter 2, verse 20, it says here that the Lord bless him, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and to the dead. And that man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers. In other words, this man who is closely related to us is going to be the very man that is going to make it possible for us to survive. In truth, when Naomi got home, she's supposed to sell her land. Once again, because the women, considered to be inferior and not being able to own the land, she was responsible for selling her own land that was a part of the estate of her and Elimelech. But God provides what is called a kinsman redeemer. In other words, somebody that is akin to her husband can come along and say, I'll buy the land from you, or I'll buy the land for you. That's called kinsman redeemer. Now, how in the world does that relate to our scripture for today? I want you to know that you can always count on something from our precious Lord. He will reward love and respect. I've already told you twice now, the Lord is looking out for Naomi. This wonderful mother-in-law, the Lord's looking out for her. And he's preparing a kinsman redeemer. And in the process, he is going to put together Boaz and Ruth. Now, chapter 4, if you'll go there for just a minute, you'll see that God has done something else here that is a marvelous work indeed. It says in verse 13 of chapter 4, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Now let's stop right there for just a minute. I want you to go back with me now in the annals of my own personal history. And I want you to hear the story of how my dad brought that little country girl out of Tuckerdale and they settled in a little place in Virginia called Cambria. And they settled there, and they had two children, two girls. And then when the youngest of those girls was 13 years old, they had two more children, Richard Jr. and Danny. But what's happened in between all of that history? My mother, who was a part of 13 other children, had some sisters. And the word got around. And my dad said to some of his friends and two of his brothers, "I know where you can find you a good woman. It's in a little place out there in Ashe County called Tuckerdale." And so they loaded up the train, and that's the truth. And you laugh, but they did. They loaded up those 14 children, 9 of which were girls, and brought them back to Cambria. And there are Blevins and Collins roots all over Cambria and Christiansburg. God, listen, God's always up to something. He's always up to something. And as you sit here today, in the midst of other mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, never forget that God's still up to something. He's still got something for you. And what He has for you has no barriers as far as age. He's just up to something. And because He loves you and respects the person you are, then only thing we have to do is just sort of tighten up our loins and wait to see what He's getting ready to do. And so the story continues from generation to generation. Now let's look at chapter 4 a little bit more. This is point 3. We would call this the rest of history. There's a beautiful picture right off the bat here. It says that he went to her and the Lord enabled them to conceive and gave birth. And praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given him birth. Now watch this picture of motherhood and mother-in-law-hood. And so Naomi takes the child, the birth child of Boaz and Ruth. And the scripture says here that she took the child and she laid him in her lap and cared for him. And the women said, "She has a son." And they named him Obed. Now here's the rest of the story. Look down at the bottom there. And it says that Obed became the father of Jesse. Does that name sound familiar to you? You don't ever believe it does. And Jesse becomes the father of David. And so the family tree is set now, all because way back there in the middle of a drought, God has His hand on those people. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nashon. Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. and Jesse, the father of David. And history has been made. Now, I want to say this in conclusion. All of the book of Ruth tells us something really important that we don't want to miss. That the family line of events in the story of Ruth does not end, but only begins. The history of Withful Baptist Church is beginning a new era. It has not ended, but it is only at a new beginning. God is always at work. And when He's working, He always is working to provide the ultimate end. We all have yet to see what the Lord is going to do. So since we cannot always see what the Lord's going to do, why don't we just let the Lord work and trust Him? And why don't we just make a pledge one to each other that, Lord, now since You are always at work, we're just going to trust You that this long line of beautiful history in the life of our church is not concluding. But you are in for a beautiful and exciting beginning. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before Your presence now in this time of invitation, we can't help but remember the story of Naomi. From loss to victory. From loss to the reestablishment of a glorious history. And so, Lord, we cannot help but trust during these days of our church, witnessing even before us what You are preparing to do. And I thank You, Lord, that we are here in the middle of what You're ready to do. God bless every mother and grandmother and great-grandmother here today, Lord, because there are many who trace the persons that they are back to these lovely women, just like David traced his lineage back to Naomi, a good mother-in-law. Oh Lord, honor it in Jesus' name. Amen.